Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. This is Ann Ortley calling you and talking from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. And I am joined tonight by my cohort, Heather.
Yes, I am. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And Mark is on vacation this week, having a wonderful vacation with his wife, so he won't be joining us this week. But what we do here at Access Astrology is we talk about the weekly weather, what you can anticipate in the heavens above and how it's reflected down here on Earth, the whole as above, so below, as without, so within. So we actually have a pretty active week. It is the week leading up to the eclipses. The eclipses are coming. And we like to give you a heads up about what the energy is going to feel like so you know what you're going to be working with. So, Heather, what did you notice about the week ahead? What caught your eye?
And just a little bit around the week behind, let alone the week ahead.
Oh, yeah, we can do the week behind because the week behind was kind of wild, too.
Kind of wild. That Sun-Pluto conjunction around Christmas and today Venus-Pluto conjunction, so many people have come to me saying, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Or they've had very festive moments, but those festive moments have been interlaced with memories of people they've let go, sadness, thoughts, you know, comparison to what could be. And I keep saying, if you can, that's an important part of their emotional process. And because we feel that Venus-Pluto conjunction today, it's going to continue on to the next week. And if we compare this holiday and this time to times gone past, we need to go ahead and let the feelings flow, but not get stuck there, that if we don't compare this to past holidays and we just let ourselves be here, some amazing things can happen in this present. This is a very mobile, changing time in history. And the more we resist the change, the more it hurts, the more we can be present with the change and say, well, this is different. How can I enjoy this? I see. And then Mercury, having just gone retrograde, we had the terrorist event where someone supposedly tried to blow up an airplane, didn't do a very good job, which is just great, but in the process has completely snafu'd all of air transport around the country. You know, he didn't blow up the airplane, but he did snafu the country and cost us a lot of money and a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a Mercury retrograde experience.
In Capricorn, because the government came in and said, no blankets, no pillows,
nothing.
No whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, you know, we had to take our shoes off with the shoe bomber. Can we put that part back on where we can go through metal inspection with our shoes off, you know?
Well, the guy
now
tried to hide it in his underwear. I think of Mark, our wonderful astrological companion here, who decided one day to go through the airport, you know, he's an Aries. So his reaction to being told what to do was to go through the airport with Speedos on under the rest of his clothes. And when they told him to strip down to his bathing suit there in the line, and then walk through the beeper. And, maybe they'll do that to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. And then he put his clothes back on because, as he put it, you told me to take my clothes off, so I did. You know, and it was pretty funny because, you know, you had to undo your belt from your blue jeans. So he just said it's just easier to take the blue jeans off. And if you don't know what Mark looks like, he's a yoga guy, you know, so he's very skinny and he's very flexible. So he did this demo for Heather and I. We were rolling on the floor where he just kind of mind taking off all his clothes and putting them in the pile and walking through. He said he did it when he wasn't traveling with Eileen, so it wouldn't affect her. And in both cases, he got kind of pulled aside, and they were like, they didn't really know what to do with him. Because he was like, why? What's the matter? You told me to take my clothes off, so I did. You know, it's just easier to take the whole thing off rather than undo the belt.
That's such an Aries move.
I know. I thought it was great.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of that right now. You know, this week with the Venus-Pluto conjunction today and the Venus-Pluto square tomorrow, so many relationships are being tested right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're just being, you know, the relationships are just having to deal with history, memories, not being enough for each other, being pulled in 10 directions, not being what we wanted to be for each other or and outside difficulties just making it difficult to get there, to be there for each other.
Right.
And just kind of hang in there through this time.
Or just also recognize, because there is what's called a hammer of God or a fist of Thor, depending on how you are. Hammer of Thor, there's a few different names for it, which is two planets squaring each other, and both of those planets sesquiquadrating a third. So in this case, the planet Juno, which is the planet of marriage, partnership, relationship, is squaring Pluto in Capricorn, the planet of transformation, change, and gee, I'd like my structures different than they are. Mm-hmm. And they both are sesquiquadrating Mars, going backwards in Leo. So Mars in Leo normally is a proud and bold and courageous sign. When it's going backwards, it's not so proud and bold. It's much more, I don't wanna, I want you to leave me alone. Or on a bad day, it can be a little envious, because normally Mars in Leo is very proud and very clear about what it does. And when it's going backwards, it can be envious of what other people have, because Leo, you know, shadow side is envy, because mm-hmm. of the I want to be seen the star. So if I'm not the star and you are, then I'm envious of you. So the fist of Thor, the hammer of God, it's a hard aspect. And what it really does is it pounds away and it says, what is the essential thing you're trying to do here? What is the true vision? And that's your job, is to say, well, my true vision is this. And no person is perfect. And when you pull in people, you pull them in because they reflect something in your chart that you need or you want or that you're really attached to. So if you say, okay, they're not perfect, no, who is? I mean, I know I would like to be. I'm a Virgo, but not happening really in this lifetime. And at the same time, we expect partner or mate to be all things, all perfect in some way. And again, is that a reasonable expectation? And what is your expectation of what relationship and partner is? And that's, I think, one of the big questions this week. Because Juno, when she was mad, you know, she used to go hunt down Zeus's conquests and kill him or do rotten things to them, turn him into snakes and stuff, rather than holding Zeus accountable for his little hound dog ways. But she couldn't take it out on Zeus, so she took it out on the girls or whoever he fooled around with, because sometimes they would turn into animals before he got them. And so we're all having that kind of energy this week where I'm unhappy with my partner, square to Pluto. I want it to change and transform. And, you know, we can't make people change, much as we would like to. They have to decide to do it themselves, which took me a really long time to work out in my relationships. They get to do what they want to do, and I get to do what I want to do. Can't fix them. So
nope.
I think that's part of the energy this week is saying, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? What's the vision of where we're going? Where are we? And that's the big question, too, with that hammer of God or the fist
and
of Thor.
And if we're still too busy to ask those questions, to answer those questions, because the holidays are upon many of us still, but if we're still, you know, just moving too fast to answer them, to remember that those are the questions to be asked, not questions like, why did the stupid idiot not do what I needed them to do?
Right.
But the bigger questions are what's really cooking and what's really going on behind the scenes here.
Yeah. And it is a big week in terms of energy. Yeah. The other thing we have are the eclipses. What do you think about the new full moon eclipse on New Year's Eve? I'm looking at that going rock and roll, man.
One, yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Interesting one. And hold on, let me pull up that page. Tell me what you see, and I'll take it off from there.
What, the eclipse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
I'm pulling up that chart right now.
So okay, I think of eclipses as being pretty volatile energies. So we do two things with eclipses. We look at them from the perspective of they're companions, so they have a companion. So the eclipse that we're having now will finish up the story that started last summer in July when we had all those eclipses popping along. So back then, you became aware of something, and you went, oh, my God, I never noticed this before, or whatever your version of reaction to it was. And then now the eclipse comes again, and it says, okay, now that you've lived with that information or that knowledge or that news, 4 or 6 months, now what do you want to do with it? Do you want to do anything new with it? And we get the opportunity to do that. So there's a closure to the existing, the energy that woke up last summer. And that's part one. The other part is it opens up a new story, meaning it brings to light situations that you didn't really know existed. Now you kind of go, oh, my God, I never knew that happened. New stuff comes to light that you then will work with until next July when we have the closing eclipses. The other thing is eclipses run in cycles. They have an 18-year cycle. It's called the Saros cycle, S-A-R-O-S, for those of you studying astrology with us. And so we look at those eclipses and we look at what the Saros cycle is for. And eclipses start either at the North Pole or the South Pole, and they go up from the South Pole to the North Pole, or they go down from the North Pole to the South Pole. And you can tell if it's a North Pole eclipse or a South Pole eclipse based on where the sun is. So in this case, the sun is going to be on the North Node, so that makes this be a North Node eclipse. So what a North Node eclipse does is it usually pulls you forward towards your future. Okay, and this eclipse started in May of 1613, and it ends in June of 2857. And from Bernadette...
The cycle of eclipses.
The cycle of eclipses, because they happen every 18 years over a long period of time. So from Bernadette Brady's book, The Eagle and the Lark, she writes about this eclipse that we're having now. Opportunities to accept greater responsibilities can come suddenly into the person's life. These new commitments will most likely come as a result of another individual being unable to carry on. Although the events which herald these opportunities may be difficult, the outcomes in terms of harmony or self-esteem are good. And then the eclipse that we're closing is the one from, was a South Node eclipse, which is why we lost so many people last summer. Remember how Jon Stewart was joking about it being the period of death? And that one was, the family of eclipses is concerned with the need to make sudden reforms. Old ideas or methods will fail, and new systems are required to deal with the events brought by the eclipse. As a consequence, the person will need to think of new ways of handling the issues. Any blocks could be violently or tragically removed. So that was the summer one that we're closing up. And then the other one that we're starting is the one about people not being able to fulfill responsibilities. So in my case, my assistant resigned. So I'm like, oh, really? You're leaving?
Really?
Yeah, no, it's a good and bad thing. You know, it's, I think it's good. We've been together 4 years. And she's moving on to do new and cool things, which is really cool. But on the sad note, she's moving on to do new and cool things. Yes, but it's a good change. It was on the North Node, and it was also on the part of fortune was on the node in all the charts. So it was very nice. It's a good thing, but at the same time, it is change. And so it's like, okay, change means now we move forward into a new existence. And we're all having that. So with the eclipse, what it does, this one is a full moon. So the moon is in Cancer on the South Node, and the sun is in Capricorn on the North Node. So whatever releases or leaves your life on this eclipse, or whatever you come to consciousness around, is going to propel you forward, is going to take you forward to the next place, is going to help you reach whatever that new place is. And that's part and parcel of what this energy is like. And so with the eclipse energy, it culminates on the full moon, at 2:13 in the afternoon on the East Coast time, which means it's visible very thinly, though. It's not a huge eclipse because it's kind of wide off the nodes. It's visible in Europe and Asia and Australia. So so that's
that's a beautiful piece and beautiful work. Thank you. And I loved your work on the Saros cycle.
Yeah, we love it.
One of the things I notice about this full moon, any full moon brings about the polarity. But first, back to a comment to what you had to say. I'm really seeing that issue in so many of my clients just rising up in them now about whether or not to step into their power when someone else screws up. In my case, my partner has just had an operation and not feeling all that well, so I've had to double up all of my work around this trip and family matters and work and potential move. And I could either complain about it or see the empowerment that it is. It's actually been a chance for me to kick into gear and get my energy back up to full steam before I move into a big city again. And I think that is what fits in exactly what you were saying. And so to take a look at the issue of responsibility, we see that this full moon is, the sun is also conjunct Venus, and it is just separating from Pluto. It's still 7 degrees, only 7 degrees away from Pluto, and Venus is only 3 degrees away from Pluto. So we have a sun-Venus-Pluto lineup oppose the moon, and both square Saturn. Even though it's a few degrees past, it's still in that orb of squaring Saturn. And that, you know, says that the responsibilities that we have, as you said, can be seen either as a terrible drag or a chance for us to step into our power. So if we can let go of the resentment and step into the gift of Saturn, the gift of Capricorn, both, which says, you know, your work is your empowerment. Taking on responsibilities sets you free. It grows your muscles. To not see it as a drag, but to see it more like you've been the understudy and the star suddenly broke a leg. And it's now your chance to get on stage instead of, you know, why aren't they holding their weight? Mm-hmm. If we can see that, but that every full moon has that sense of opposition in us, that sense of duality, that there we are pulled between two places. And that moon in Cancer, can we just curl up in our home under this full moon and not really go anywhere? And on the other side, what is our responsibility to the world? What is the responsibility of the next piece? On a local version, I don't think it's a great full moon to go out and have a wild party. Most people will be saying, you know, I'd rather stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a time to nurture one another and share stories about where you'd like to go. With Mercury retrograde, we're not so good at looking ahead at our next year yet, but it's a time to compost the past on New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, you can start talking about the future a bit more. But New Year's Eve, if we can tell stories about what was the best story and the worst story, our best moments, our worst moments of the year behind us, we get much more ready to enter into the world ahead.
Right. Well, the thing I find really weird, too, is they're doing this decade thing. It's the aughts ending, you know. I'm like, the aughts ending? What's the aughts? It's the O's. You know, we're going into the double
yep.
digits. And I'm like, have we really had 10 years already of the 2000s?
I know. Isn't that weird?
It went really fast, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can also think about the last 10 years of our life and how much change has happened in that since we got through year 2K and survived fine. Now we're going into the 20s, 2010s,
mm-hmm.
the 20-teens, I guess these would be called.
The
20-teens. So, yeah, and I do think that chart is an interesting one because the hammer of God is still in it, or the fist of God is still in it. It's perfecting because Pluto and Mars are getting ready to square each other, and Mars is in the sesquiquadrate to both of them. And it
mm-hmm.
kind of straddles the ICMC for the Washington
mm-hmm.
chart.
Mm-hmm.
It also is a Gemini rising chart cast for Washington, D.C. Now you always cast it for your own city, but you cast it for us, for the country, for the where the country is governed, to see where it is. And it has a very large focus on Eighth House matters. So we can anticipate there'll be a lot of financial information. And it also, the sun rules the Fourth House, indicating there'll be kind of more issues around home and security and housing, I would think, is a big – housing is an indicator, major indicator in this, more foreclosure stuff. Plus, we also have Mercury sitting on the North Node in the Ninth House. So that can also – and it's retrograde in Capricorn. The Mercury in Capricorn I always find very interesting because Mercury in Capricorn is a truth teller. It doesn't say a lot, but it says what it needs to say to get communications across. And whenever you have Mercury
– care if it's tactful or not.
Yes, not always tactful, but it is in Capricorn. So whenever you have an Earth sign Mercury, either Virgo, Taurus, or Capricorn, what they say, they'll go, this is the story. And it stays that way until you say, okay, let's change the story again. Because it's Earth sign, it doesn't move. Capricorn particularly, think of it as a battleground. If you've ever been to Gettysburg, they dig a hole in the ground, and the hole is still there a few hundred years later, where people died and bled, you know, the hole doesn't fill. So Capricorn Mercury is very straight-shooting, straight-talking Mercury. And he's going retrograde, and he's on the North Node. And he's the ruler of the chart, and he's the ruler of the house of money, and he's the ruler of the children and the creativity of the children. So he's big this time, and he's on the North Node. So what you really want to do is pay attention to the information that you hear on this lunation, because it's going to be very important to your future path. It may not be the information you want to hear because Mercury's retrograde, but it is going to bring up some story or bring up some truth or bring up some information that you really want to hang on to or you really want to notice. And then as Mercury stations to go direct, the other part of the information will come forward, because remember, he's going over this point a few times. So the fact that there's a lunar eclipse while Mercury's retrograde gives us Mercury, and Mercury is the ruler of the chart and the ruler of the money, it's going to give us a really big information dose around money and communications and what our future is going to be. So it's an interesting lunation from that point of view too, I think, that Mercury being so strong on the North Node retrograde. And part of the, you know, it is in a it's in an inconjunct aspect to Mars. So it's not necessarily going to be news you're going to like, but it's news you need to hear. So that's, you know, it's news you have to adjust to.
That Mercury in conjunct Mars, that's going to be close to midnight that night.
Yes.
On the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit earlier for those farther west. But that's a great aspect for an accident.
Yes.
that
is true.
Watch what you say and watch where you're driving. Mm-hmm. Do drive defensively if you're driving late that night. If you're in mountain time, that would be 9:53 or close to 10 o'clock. It would be a good time to just not be out on the streets at that time.
Right.
And, you know, if you have a flash of temper, to just let it soften and flow and come back to the work that you need to do. Or the party or the food. Because the moon is in Cancer, it's a great night to share food with one another, to, you know, bring your best dish. And if you're going to have a party, have a food party. And you make it comfort. How can you make each other comfortable for the year ahead? And cozy and feeling safe and secure and nurtured and oogie-woodled. It's rather than a wild and crazy party.
Right.
I have a feeling that, you know, the aspects for family fights were a doozy, as Charlie Sheen found out on Christmas Day.
I know. I thought that was really pretty cool. We love it when the fight aspects show up in the news.
And we'd rather they didn't show up at all, but if they couldn't show up, it's nice for the celebrities to give us an example.
Right.
They
are our gods and goddesses, you know, in this culture. We follow them like they used to follow the fights of the gods and the mounts, you know, so... But,
we are.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. And so do be a little safe around that time and don't take the bait in an argument around that time. And instead, enjoy, you know, the being able to let go. It'd be a great time to do a release ceremony right around midnight. What about 2009 do you want to let go of?
And as it was kind of a crappy year for
a
lot of us, there's probably a list of things. You want
to
say, I want to let this go and that go. It'll be a really long list, and you'll be there till the next morning. And that's totally fine, you know, because you're letting go of things you no longer need or want. But, yeah, I do think it is – I think it's a really volatile full moon. I looked at it and went, I think I'm staying home. Although I usually do dinner with some friends, and, you know, we kind of do forecasts for the year. But I haven't heard any news about that, so it may not be happening this year. But, yeah, I think it also is understanding that part of what the energy of this eclipse wants us to do is really clear out. While we've had Pluto in Capricorn for a long time, it seems, you know, it's been there for a while, what we're really at this point is Pluto's now deeply in Capricorn, and it's really truly ready to show us what that story is going to be. We've only gotten a glimpse of it. We've gotten a little preview of it, a coming attractions kind of thing. Because Pluto's going to be in Capricorn for another, till 2024, another good long chunk of time. And what we're going to be learning now is what that truly means. What does Pluto in Capricorn mean to us as a person, as a culture, as a civilization? And part of your job is to say, okay, now that I understand it, what do I actually want to do with it? How do I want to work with this energy? on a different level. And I think that's part of what why these eclipses are also really pretty powerful, because the people who don't want to stay around and do the next part of the leg with us, there'll be a bunch of departures like there were on the eclipses that we had in the summer. I don't think nearly as dramatic as those, but there'll be a group of people that say, you know, I'm moseying on off to the next plane. And for the rest of us that are left, it's about, well, what are you actually here for? What's your purpose? What's your vision? And there'll be a lot of, well, I thought my vision was this, but now that I've actually started to create it, I think maybe it might be something else. Okay, well, what is the new version? And I think giving ourselves permission on New Year's to think that way is very good, because the emotions of the day are very profound, and the emotions of this season are very profound. We've had a very big, there's just been a lot flying around in the air, and people have been really feeling it on a different level than maybe in other holiday seasons. I've had more clients be really depressed over this season than in other years that I remember. And maybe it's just the Capricorn, I don't know, but it also is about what your hopes for yourself are, what you think is possible. And part of what can happen is we pin our hope on a person and that person doesn't show up. But it doesn't mean the hope is wrong. It just means maybe not that person. So I would encourage you to hang on to the hope and not tie it to any one person, but to give it permission to be, give the universe permission to show you where it's coming from, rather than saying it has to be with this person or I'll be horribly unhappy. Well, maybe that person's that's not their path, but it doesn't mean you can't have that dream or can't have that wish or can't work on that thing that is part of what your path is. And I think we sometimes forget that it isn't always about the person that's in front of us. It's actually our dream that got stirred by the person before us, or got stirred and stimulated by the situations that we find ourselves in, and we think it's from one person, but no, it's really your dream. So I think that's the important thing to hang on to, too, is it your dream? If it's your dream, give it room to move. Give it room to grow. Don't stymie it or ignore it and say, oh, well, it only can happen with this person. So I think that's also a big...
Is there anybody on the line, or can you give out the number?
I can give out the number. The caller number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So feel free to give us a call. We didn't get any emails this week with questions, but I thought...
People have been a little busy.
It's been a little busy. But I thought it might be a good idea for us to also kind of cover what... how people can work with that Venus-Saturn aspect, because it is kind of a Venus-Saturn-Pluto, because it's, you know, we did the Fist of Thor, but that Venus-Saturn, you know, people get really upset with that one. So.
Yeah, and it is. And again, especially at this time of year when we think, can't we be just y'all loving and cozy, and it shouldn't everything be perfect with each other? But That Venus Saturn, every time I see a Venus Saturn aspect, it's we both have to love our work, but love is work, and we need to work at love. And so those three ways that we combine work and love all come together, and that means that there's you know, it's vacation time, but it's a time when a lot of people's minds are turning back to their work, even though they're supposed to be on vacation, worrying about it, thinking about it, angsting about it. It's hard to let it go, and that can interfere with relationships if you're thinking about or doing your work a lot, or all the people in the hospitality industry which are just too busy to be with their family at this time of year. The other way I see that, though, is that our relationships go through regular tests that there aren't some that we, if we cannot test each other during these aspects, which is very tempting to do. Would you love me if I did this? Prove that you love me. But instead, say, how can we work at love? Instead of test love, work at it. Work at being a better friend to one another. Work at using what relationship skills we have in our partnerships and our friendships. You know, work at, you know, shining at people on the subway and seeing how they change. Just doing what we know already through all of our understanding and all of our experience, we know helps relationships, but we tend to forget when we're tested or tired or hardworking or a little fried or have our expectations high. And that Venus conjunct Pluto, it can both break our hearts open with love, or it can test us and make us focus on the loss that's in our life.
On the loss of love.
I have a great Venus Pluto story. And when, you know, in 2001, as I remarried for the second time, for the first time, first remarried, second marriage, and I was. It was a, we waited 15 months between the time we decided to get married to when we got married. The other aspects were good, but I saw that Pluto was squaring my Venus. It was a Venus-Pluto square instead of a Venus-Pluto conjunction, but still Venus-Pluto resonance. And I thought, you know, that's a little hard, but it feels like I'm moving, I'm breaking old relationship patterns and breaking into my heart and really opening my Venus, my heart, more than ever. The day, 2 days, 3 days after the wedding, a job offer came, and I had to, in New York, we were living in New Mexico, and I had to choose, do I let go of my relationship, do I let go of my community, or do I ask my new partner to let go of a life dream? I had to let go of something. And that's the Venus-Pluto, you know. You can. It breaks open your heart, but it also asks you to let go of something. And that can mean that, you know, letting go of old dreams, of old patterns, of old people, or letting go of old hopes. But in the process, you're creating room for the new. That you just, you know, many people are reporting to me that they just can't be everywhere, and they love being where they are for Christmas, but they really miss being with their parents or their friends or whoever they're not with. And that, you know, as someone said to me, you just can't dance at every wedding. You know, that we have to make choices about where we put our heart and where we put our time. And I think those tough choices that are part of it, in order to step closer to one friendship, we might have to step away from another. Just by time, just by the amount of time we put into it. And I think that's very much this Venus-Pluto-Saturn. But not to feel caught in the illusion of either or, but really feel the connection of the both and.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that there are sometimes tough choices
yeah.
that we need to make. Does that
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think with Pluto, remember, whenever he's involved, there's some kind of triangle. So the choice between love and career or love and work or love and children or love and I can only have this much time. And Pluto says to you, well, what is the most important place for you to spend your time, dear? And you have to say, well, I want both. And he goes, yes, but do you have time for both? Is it time? You know, what is your real path? And that, I think, is part of what this is, too, because the Venus, Saturn squares that Venus and Pluto joins with the Venus, and they're both talking to Venus in a very serious, and Venus is in a very serious sign. She's in Capricorn, where she really is ambitious, and she knows what she wants. And Venus in Capricorn is very clear. You know, it's a high quality wanting what the good thing is for its being, and of course Venus in Capricorn wants what's good for the Saturn in the person's chart too. So a lot of the stuff will be about, well, is this really good for me in my future? Because Venus in Capricorn does think about the future. Some of the other Venuses are a little more happy-go-lucky, and they don't really focus on the building of the dream or the building of the future. So when she's active, like she is this week, it's about, well, what is your dream for the future? What is your purpose? And it also, there's awareness of time, because she is aspecting Saturn, and there's an awareness of choices that can be difficult to make because she's aspecting Pluto. So, yeah. And we have a caller.
Well said.
We have a caller, so let's see if we can get them up. Hello, caller, 716, are you there? Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air. Can we help you with a question or a comment about the upcoming astrological weather?
Yes, I'm wondering about my financial situation.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could look at my chart, and my date of birth is 5/19/55, and I was born at 8:15 in the morning, and I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Okay, give me a first name.
Debbie? Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, Debbie, it's May 19, 1955, 8:15 in the morning in Buffalo.
Right.
And we're looking at financial stuff. And you live in Buffalo now? I see a 716 area code, so I'm thinking so.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Taurus, Moon in Cancer, Moon, Venus conjunction in Aries, and Taurus with a Cancer rising, Moon in Aries. And they, do you know your chart somewhat already, Debbie?
No, I don't.
Okay. You're a determined person, that much we can see to begin with, but let's take a look at what's going on with your finances right now. What line of work do you do? And that can help us see what aspect, what house to look.
I'm an assistant administrator for a church.
For a church, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's
the 12th house. That's the 12th house,
yeah.
You have your Sun, Mercury, and Mars had just come up over the ascendant at the time of your birth, and they're in the house of the 12th house, which works with institutions, you know, organizations, and preferably, you know, nonprofits, not always, but nonprofits. And you've got a lot of planets in there, so it looks like you do well with that. When you look at your finances, the main problem I see is unexpected expenditures, that there is money coming in, you know, it's your money is moody. It comes and it goes, it flows in and out. But in general, it's pretty good, except that you have some unexpected expenditures and some and unexpected and occasionally impulse buys, or when money goes out faster than it comes in. And that the
right.
going out faster than coming in seems to be the main financial issue.
Right. I'm looking in particular for February 8th because I'm going to be having to file bankruptcy because we're supporting our children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I'm going to see any light with them in, you know, by that date.
Now, you
any light with your children or any light with the bankruptcy court?
Well, I guess both. I'm
okay.
hoping my children will leave my house and go home.
Well, the you know, you've got Neptune and Saturn. You know, people born in 1955 have a in the 50s have a configuration, and you've got Neptune and Saturn joined, and they're in aspect to your money planets. So what can happen then is there's boundary issues in terms of.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of boundaries we set with the children in terms of what their expectations are about what finances are available. And particularly the spouse of the first child, and depending on how many you have, 1, 2, 3, 4, if you have the fourth child's a spender too. You've got kind of spendy children. The second child looks to be kind of a pay-its-own-way child. But they do have kind of a connection with you around that somehow money is nurturing, because the ruler of your chart, Venus, the ruler of the fifth house is Venus, and it's joined to the moon in Aries. So it's very easy for you to say, okay, let me pull out my wallet and take money and pay for this. And by working in a church or working behind the scenes in a nonprofit in a 12th house place, it's not like you're making pots of money. With that
right.
that kind of job. So the expectation then is, well, mom has money, let's hit her up. And mom has trouble saying no to children. And they spend very rapidly. So I think that there's a combo of things that you're working on. Now, interestingly, this section of your chart is getting woken up by the eclipses that we're having now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the eclipses are going to be on that. And on February 8th, Mercury is going to be triggering that. So what you want to watch is what happens around the 14th or 15th of January, particularly around communications. with the children or around children's expectations of your money. Because your chart doesn't have problem making money. The ruler of the moon,
yep.
The ruler of the second house is in the house of making money, makes it fast in Aries, spends it just as fast, and it's joined to Venus, and Venus is in her fall, and Venus rules the children, meaning you spend it very fast on the children. And your definition of love, part of how you define what love is by buying things for your kids, which is totally cool, but at this point, obviously, you know, there's been too much buying. So I think
I would also say that there's another aspect around that,
mm-hmm.
that your approach to your children, I don't know if it's some sense of guilt, but that you have a hyper-developed sense of responsibility towards them, and that you were told as a child not to be self-centered. And so you're so focused on not being self-centered that you give too much and you don't realize that sometimes you enable the people around you because you're trying to make sure that you did your end of the responsibility. And how old are your children?
Well, my son is 27 and my daughter's 21.
Okay.
And
I think tough love is what's coming up. You've got Saturn in next year is entering your house of children. It's in the house of home now. So you've been needing to bench press boundaries on the home front, and you're going to be moving into setting limits with your kids. It may be that declaring bankruptcy is the only way you can say to your kids, I don't have a penny more to give you. You are on your own. Make money. As a matter of fact, you know, help support me.
Right. Well, my eldest is,
mm-hmm.
He had a tremendous problem with gambling, which has basically set us financially down the tubers. I mean, that's what really nailed
why
us.
Why did his problem with gambling get you in trouble?
Oh, because he stole from us. He ended up getting involved in reckless ventures that ended making us make payments.
Okay, because what it seems like with him is that's his addiction. And
right.
You might be have you investigated Al-Anon? Because
no.
It's like your child is an alcoholic. And that you need to treat him like he's an alcoholic.
Okay.
And it is an illness. It's not like a bad boy. It is an illness. He has, you know, he doesn't have, you have, I think, have a good relationship to your spirituality. And you have a positive relationship to Neptune. And he doesn't. He doesn't know how to, and the positive Neptune is spirituality, intuition, imagination, creativity. Middle Neptune is water, liquids, oils, things that flow. Negative Neptune is illusion, delusion, escapism, addiction, drowning, gambling, you know, that imaginary world, magical thinking, as they say. And he's really stuck on negative Neptune. And it may be that you need to say to him, I will only help you. I will not spend a penny, and I will not let you in the house unless you are in a treatment program for gambling addiction. And
right.
That by setting that hard edge line, you begin to give him room to step into it.
Right, but I think her concern is he probably got in with the mob or loan sharks and they were threatening his life. And
mm-hmm.
she would do anything to save her child's life.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
That and
but
that and what?
Yeah.
Hmm?
That and yours. I know you would. And that's where the bankruptcy may be where you need that protects you from that edge with him. But as long as he can get out of trouble, he'll get into deeper trouble.
Right.
That's why at some point he's got to face the trouble he's in and deal with it, or he gets in deeper trouble.
Mm-hmm. And this is for what, you know, so you can understand this. If we look at, you know, for the people who follow along and watch, the oldest son is the fifth house. And you count eight houses from there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, going counterclockwise. And you come to the 12th house of Debbie's chart is the eighth house of the sun, the gambling child. And so we see in there that the ruler Mars is in Gemini on the south node. So this is an issue that he had in a previous lifetime too. And on some level, your relationship with him as a parent has a past life connection with it too. There's a he's in your T square. So when we see that, it's like, okay, you have this story with this child that part of the partnership or part of the marriage contract with him, not that you're married to him, but there is a commitment of some sort that you guys made to each other. And he has a very loaded 12th house, so part of or 8th house. So part of what his story is him having to understand how he has to not lie, Mars and Gemini on the south node, and he has to go towards the north node in Sagittarius, being truthful and honorable in his spending, and really coming to some kind of understanding of that. And so what your Jupiter is the ruler of your second, one of the rulers and planets in your second house, is the ruler of his north node. So you actually saying to him, I will do anything for you, but if you endanger your life by doing this, this is, you know, I can't save you if they're going to break your legs. And you, this is not a good thing. And he, on some level, needs to spiritually bottom out because the Mars, and he is having that opportunity because Saturn was squaring that point and Uranus is coming over that point again. So he gets into panic mode and your chart wants to help him because you have this agreement with him that you're his mother and you're going to take care of him. But it also is he's old enough. Has he had his Saturn return yet? Is he had 28? Is he 28?
No.
Okay, how old is he? 22?
No, he's 27.
He'll 27. 20. Okay.
Right.
All right, so he hasn't had his Saturn return. So what Saturn is him taking responsibility for his conditions and choices. And
that's coming up over the next 2 years as Saturn goes into your house.
Yeah, in your house of children, yeah. So he actually is also, for some level for you, a past life responsibility, which is why you really do karmically need to set boundaries with him so that you're not taken down with him too. It's kind of the, you know, like when someone's drowning.
Just need that karma.
Yeah. You got him, you raised him, you love him, and, you know, that's really what your responsibility was in this lifetime with him, not to financially carry him.
And go back to your chart, once you've plugged the leaks in your own finances,
mm-hmm.
once you've declared boundaries and set boundaries with him, your well begins to fill back up. That if you can, you know, just do the work, because there's a steady stream of money coming in to you. It's not a big stream, but it's steady. And if you don't take risks, don't spend too much money on the lottery, and just keep that income coming in and make sure the output isn't bigger than the input for a while, your wells will begin to fill up again.
Your chart has lovely capacity to make money with that Jupiter Uranus in the second. And I also would say to you, one of the things you might even consider doing is some kind of internet business with your second child possibly, or with a friend, you know, possibly a religious internet business. That would be a good way for you to make money with your Uranus and Jupiter in the second. Maybe a prayer site or something like that, because you do work for a church, or possibly some kind of, you know, some kind of spiritual prayer thing that, you know, can be a revenue generator as well as part of, because you do make money through service to God. That's one of the big ways your chart works in terms of making money. So if you can find some way to do that, that might be a way for you going forward too. But you don't have like horrible aspects for making money, and it should clean up soon. So that part's good. And then once the bankruptcy happens, you are free and clear. But you do need to think about your own future. And he needs support and help of a gambling. You know, there's Gamblers Anonymous, and you go to Al-Anon. Do you have family history of alcoholism in your family tree?
No, but my husband does.
Your husband does. Okay, so sometimes it's hereditary. You know, a lot of times we'll see people with very strong Neptunes having a history of addiction or drugs and addictive behaviors. And so then
but
we...
I just want to say that also goes along with very spiritual people.
Yes.
That it's very hard to tell the difference between a very spiritual person and a very addicted person just by looking at the chart.
Right, right.
It's a choice which way they take it.
Yeah, they do the higher form of Neptune or the lower form, in the sense of drugs and alcohol being quote-unquote lower form. It helps transport us out of reality, and higher form being, you know, the creative process or the spiritual path, which also helps us connect to spirit and divine. So your husband has this family history. So because you do have a strong Neptune signature in your chart. So if you go to an Al-Anon meeting, even though it's for alcoholics, it will help you set boundaries with your son. And your daughter looks to be, you know, she's Saturn in Capricorn. She's described as a Capricorn with Saturn in Scorpio. So she's actually good for the boundary setting too there.
Yes.
But I don't think it'll be bad. I think, you know, that you've got an exalted Jupiter in the second and you've got Pisces on the midheaven. So I think you can definitely, you know, pull this out and be fine in not a long period of time. But it also is, if you continue to bail him out, you know, he's going to take you down with him. And that's part of the hard thing about dealing with addicts of any nature, is setting appropriate boundaries and saying, I can't do this for you anymore. You have to do it for yourself.
And, well, the other thing is that my 21-year-old daughter is, she's basically disabled. She has severe rheumatoid arthritis. And she can work, but she has to have a job where she sits down and she can't work full time because she gets tired. So basically it's putting us in the position where we really do have to support her.
Is she on disability?
No, that's going to take forever. And no, not yet.
Is that already in the works?
Right, but it's a long process.
Okay.
So we're,
often there is a short term that the state can there's a short term waiver for people who are on. I mean, I have a disabled son, and a dearly beloved disabled son. But sometimes there's a state process that holds you over for 2 years while they get the SSDI online, because I think it's going to take a while with her. So I see that you do have to support her, but I want you to start working on creating the independence that she needs. That I think you feel guilty in asking for the money, and getting her hooked in with all the agencies, because
right.
you're such a hyper responsible person. But I want you to imagine...
That's what your tax dollars are for, that
also,
we have
that
support.
If you died tomorrow, if you died tomorrow, she'd be screwed. But if you got her set up with the agencies and you died tomorrow, she'd be okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to really think about that it's not selfish of you to try to get her hooked in with the agencies that can help her find support. Also, if she is supported by the agencies and not by you, you know, I'm a Moon in Aries with a handicapped kid, so I'm speaking to a Moon in Aries mom with a handicapped kid. We take on everything, and we think we have to do it all ourselves. But that only creates dependency in your daughter instead of independence, and doesn't allow her to have all the relationships that she needs to have as fully as she can, even in her handicapped state. And so the more she is, you know, has ways of relating to the world that are not through you, the more she has a chance of finding her own relationships, finding ways that do work for her, that are sustainable, even if something happens to you, even when you're gone.
Right.
It doesn't mean you don't love her and take care of her, but you help her create independence and a chance for her to have an independent relationship to the world around her. Then you can support the heck out of her with your love and your care. And yes, that's going to take some money, and going bankrupt will help you get funding for her. But I think it's a really important part of the process.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does make sense. But I've always felt as though I have one child that is taking and one child I need to give to and I can't.
Right.
And
I know.
And that's been awful. But I really want to thank you both so very much for helping me. It's made some things very, very clear. And I am sincerely grateful.
Okay.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck.
You know, with your spirit, I would just like to one last little piece with your spiritual thing. One of the things that, you know, I had one point, I was raised Catholic and had, you know, was working on a project, and a friend of mine said to me, well, you know, God has money, you know, like ask God for money help. And I kind of went, God has money? And she was like, well, God made everything. And as being raised a Catholic, it was taught not to ask. You know, you were supposed to do for others. But when she said that, I thought, well, that's really interesting. I'd never thought about it, that God actually has money. And that is something that it is worth for me to say, well, yeah, he does have money. So he made it. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And as a tax-paying citizen of the United States, all those taxes you paid all those years, that's part of the contract that America has with you to help you with your family and to say, you know, you're not to be destitute, you're not to be poor and lost forever. Let's help. Let's step in here. There's a moment. And I know I have a lot of clients who've, you know, been having trouble, like, putting food on the table. And I'm like, well, go get some food stamps. And they're like, oh, no, you know, I can't do food stamps. I'm like, you've been paying taxes all these years for that reason, for that support from your community, your culture, your country. And don't be afraid to say, you know, I'm ready to ask for a little help and to get some, because that we often feel we have to struggle along. And in truth, right, when we ask for help, it actually shows up. But it can't show up unless we ask. And I think that's part of something to remember with your chart, too, because it is hard for you to ask for help because you are so independent. And it makes you feel like you've done something wrong, and you haven't. All you're doing is saying, you know, the burdens are much, and I am weary. I need some help. And, you know,
and
when you ask, the help shows up.
And you're giving the rest of the people around you a chance to get as much from giving to you as you have gotten from giving to them.
Yep.
No. Yeah, that's very true. And I do have that Catholic guilt as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know, Buffalo, it's big Catholic country. I went to Bonaventure. I'm from Rochester, so. Yeah. But it is hard, you know, and it also is that, you know, God does have money, you know. And I was kind of like, you know, you're right, God does have money. I've been to the Vatican. He does have a lot of money, or at least the Catholics do. And so it's also that, you know, it's understanding, yes, that's the point of what money's for, is to support us and help us. And part of what we're in the world for is to say, you know, I've done this part on my side, you know, and how do we do it? And I would also go and, you know, talk to your bosses. If you're working for a Catholic church, talk to them about a raise. You know, it's worth it. Buffalo, lots of parishes. So.
Yeah, tons.
You take very good care of yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you both.
Okay, and have a good New Year's too.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye bye. All righty. So we've got a minute left, so I guess we should wrap up. It goes so damn fast, Heather. You know.
Yeah.
Actually, the British lady just said 90 seconds. I'm looking at the switchboard saying a minute. All right, folks. So we're gonna wrap it. It's been a rough year. 2009 was a hard year for many, many people. So what you want to do, when we said before, you know, having a little releasing ritual, what I do, good Catholic girl that I am, I sit down and I light some candles, and I ask my guardian angels, or ask your guides, or ask whatever, to take away the burdens and to say, okay, let me let it go. Let me release the pain and the sorrow in this year. Let me hold on to the love, because there was a lot of love. Hold on to the good and move forward. So understand, this eclipse is a full moon eclipse. It's great for releasing emotional burdens because the moon's on the south node. And my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer. And every week, Heather and I and Mark sit and talk to you about the planets and talk to you about what the energy is going to feel like. So I'm Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. Mark's in the woods somewhere with his wife having a lovely time. And Heather, where are you?
I'm in Santa Fe in the beautiful, glorious, dusty Southwest. So love from the cold mountains in beautiful sunsets, and we'll see you in the new year.
Yes, Happy New Year, folks. Have a great year. And if you feel want to ask us a question, feel free to email us if you can't call into the show, and tell your friends about us, because that's why we're here, is to be helpful and supportive and to help astrology work for you. So take good care.
AstroNYC.com.
Yeah, AstroNYC.com. I always forget that part. All right, take care. Bye, all.
Take care.
Bye, Heather. Have a great New Year's.
Goodbye, you too.
Give Jamie a hug for me.
Take care.
Okay.
And a hug back.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.